and equip everybody out there that's open to hear the truth. I'm going to start out by saying there's a Bible verse in the Bible that says, "Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life." And when you interpret it, there's two different ways to interpret. There's a carnal way of thinking, and there's also a spiritual way of thinking. Here at GTTN, we fully concentrate on the spirit. We don't put emphasis on carnality and on man's wisdom. Everything's done here by revelation knowledge. When you look at wide is the road that leads to destruction, the mind is basically an enmity between God and man. The Bible says that enmity is hatred or hostility, and it's also referred to as witchcraft. The mind actually, when you get into reasoning and thoughts, it causes a division and it causes hatred between you and God. So God basically wants to have a relationship with every single person in this world. And he's placed what we call Christ or divine nature inside of everyone. Everyone has this divine nature, and it's unique in that each person has their own calling and has their own life that's different from somebody else. And what's been happening is, based on ignorance, people have been judging each person based on their carnality and their thinking as far as the way they should live their life, the way they should be following, maybe what they want them to do. And God's saying it's wrong, because he placed a bit of himself in each person. And through the Holy Spirit, he guides that person in their heart each and every day. And that's the uniqueness of Christ that's within each and every one. You know, it's really interesting how the carnal mind and the spirit are so different in the way they interpret something. You can see something, and your carnal mind will tell you one thing, and your spirit of God will tell you something totally different. The case in point is, 2 weeks ago, I was in a restaurant down in Maryland, and I was sitting behind two ladies that were Christians, and they were having a discussion about Jesus, and they were referring to Jesus the man as the Son of God, and they were bringing up the scripture verse that says John 3:16, which reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, could be 400 or so years, we've been taught that Jesus the man is the Son of God and that he was the begotten. Well, when I looked up the word begotten means unique and of one class. Begotten also refers to the divine nature, which is called Christ. In this passage, in this scripture, it's not referring to Jesus the man, it's referring to the divine nature of God. It's referring to Christ that's within us, and it's unique because each individual has Christ within us, and everybody has a unique Christ within them. God's placed a life inside of each and every one of us, and it's in Christ. It's in the divine nature, and it's unique. For instance, I'm unique within Christ when I'm in the divine nature. I'm unique where it's different from Ken. He has Christ in him as well, and it's very unique because he has a different path within him as compared to what I am doing. You know, I want to personally say that Jesus, the man, became Christ because he identified with the divine nature that was within inside of him. It took a long time when he was with his disciples and apostles that he asked Peter, he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter finally admitted, he said, "Well, you're the Christ." He saw that Jesus, the man, grabbed hold of the divine nature that was within himself. And he was being led by the Holy Spirit. He was being led by Christ within him. And that's what made him the Christ. You know, Jesus said, "If you see me, you see the Father." Well, the Father has an innate nature within each and every person. which is the divine nature, Christ. And that's how he wants to have a personal relationship with each person in this world. And religion, unfortunately, has kind of covered and masked your uniqueness and your life, because religion wants you to conform to a law. It wants you to conform to like a cookie cutter. You must be like this person, this person, this person. And it kind of looks like you're walking around as like a Stepford. But God's saying, no, I don't want that, because every single person in this world is unique and has a special calling or a special life within each and every person. And he wants that to come out, and he wants that to manifest, because when we manifest God, we're manifesting his attributes. And in his attributes, that's how other people can see God. You know, Jesus didn't die on the cross for our sins, but what he died for is what he wanted to show us was the greatest gift of all, which is love. And his love was for the Father. You know, when he laid his life down, it was for the will of God in his life. When God put Jesus on the cross, it wasn't crucifying Jesus the man, he was crucifying himself. He was crucifying Christ, the divine nature, because Christ, the divine nature, was innocent, and he wanted to shed innocent blood, and then he wanted it to rise again as an example. You know, when Jesus realized in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he realized that he was going to go onto the cross, you know, he came against the social powers of his time. When he walked around, he was preaching with the divine nature manifesting openly. He was coming against the religious ways of that time, and he was coming against the powers and ruling powers of those classes. For example, the Roman Empire. You know, they had different traditions and different ways about that culture, and he wanted to manifest the divine nature, which is God, because it was unique. It was a different way of thinking. In here, we talk about repentance constantly. And repentance means changing the way you're thinking. When you change the way you think, you can change your behavior then. In John 3:3, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That word born again means to come out of laws. It also means to come out of carnal reasoning and flesh. When you become born again, you actually, your mind changes and you see differently. And you see not only, it's not the carnal nature anymore, you're seeing spiritually. The word carnal is interpreted as man's laws. And what's interesting is, since we're a little child, we learn man's laws. We actually accept man's laws, and we accept this carnality of reasoning, and we interpret it as ourselves. And that's who we become. And God's saying, no, I didn't create you in a carnality. I created you spiritually. And basically what he's saying is, when you become born again, you're changing from carnality to spirit, because you're seeing in a total different light. You're coming out of darkness, you're coming into light, because you're changing the way you're thinking. The word spirit means spiritual insight. So when you're becoming born again, and it says he cannot see the kingdom of God, it's because you're not seeing with spiritual eyes, you're seeing carnal eyes. The kingdom of God lives inside of you. This is where God lives. Christ lives within you. This is where heaven is. And this is the kingdom of God. Inside the kingdom of God is your heart, and it's also the divine nature, which is Christ, which we have God's attributes. You know, as a preacher, I'm not out here to preach verbally, but I'm out here to demonstrate openly as a testament to God through my attributes. It's not my attributes, but it's God's attributes. But the result of repentance really makes you change the way one thinks. And it gives you open actions to change your behavior. But because I'm going to go back to Romans 8:7. It says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be." The carnal mind is flesh, and it's also man's laws. But what it does is it drives a division between you and God. Because when you live in the carnal realm, God can't exist. And this enmity is basically a hatred, and it's also a division that God divides himself from us. Because God only lives in the Spirit. And that's where he asked each and every one of us, is to live in the Spirit. Through this ministry at GTTN, we predicate all of our teachings on spiritual knowledge. We talk about revelational knowledge all the time. It's because we want to get each and every individual to walk in the Spirit and come out of the flesh, come out of the carnal way of thinking. I know for myself, when I'm living carnally, my heart gets troubled. And I'm not thinking straight. I'm thinking in a different realm that I don't know. My heart gets troubled and I have worry, fear, and anxiety. Well, that's not in the kingdom of God. It's actually within my own mind. And God's saying, if you want to inherit the kingdom of heaven and have eternal life, you must live in the Spirit. You must, go back to 3:16, you must believe in the begotten Son, which is Christ within you. You know, it's not just believing in Jesus. Jesus the man, I give him honor and I give him praise because of what he did. He was the prime example for all of us on how we can follow God and have an individual relationship with God. He was the ultimate one that laid his life down for the Lord. But he was the first brother of many brothers. You know, and what the church today is basically saying is they're putting Jesus here and we're saying we can't attain where Jesus was. But Jesus said, greater things you will do as I go to the Father. And God, and he's basically saying, because I laid the foundation of Christ, everybody has the ability now to walk in Christ. And you have the innate, and you have the seed of Christ within you. You have to now renew that hope. Because Christ is the hope of all glory. And each person here and on the web has a hope within inside of us. But in order for hope to rise up, you need faith. And you have to believe in that hope. Because when you lose hope, you're hopeless. And you don't have any life anymore. But we're speaking a message where we're trying to raise your hope. And your hope comes by faith in hearing this word tonight. And believing that God is within you. He's not over there and he's not over here. But he lives inside of your heart. And he wants to have a personal relationship with you. And we're not saying that you have to come up here for an altar call and ask Jesus into your heart, because Jesus sits at the right-hand side of the Father. We're asking you to have a personal relationship with the divine nature of God that lives inside of you. And that's where God lives and dwells in each person. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, repent, therefore be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When you talk about repentance, which I was saying earlier, it's a way of changing your thinking, and that results in action of converting and following and trusting your heart or Christ, that the laws that you created are now followed and will be blotted out and forgotten. During Jesus' time, John the Baptist walked around the earth and was preparing the way for Christ, because he was trying to get people to change the way they were thinking and get out of the carnal thinking, because they were going to miss the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus said, you know, I am the way and the truth and the life. It's because of divine nature that lives within me. If I follow it, I'm finding eternal life, and it's here on earth. It's not after you die. And what's awesome is when you can grab hold and change the way you think and grab hold of Christ within you, and you follow your heart and you follow your desires, you follow the passions that are within you, you're actually blotting out those laws and traditions that you picked up when you were younger, because they no longer are sin in your life, because you're basically casting them aside and you're walking in truth. Because he says, love covers a multitude of sin. And the sin is simply the traditions of men. It's simply your reasoning and your carnal thinking. But the love is the passion of Christ within you, and it's following that passion. It's following the Christ. You're basically trusting God, and that's love. And that's covering those sins that you once took on before, but now they're being blotted out. You know, I ask everybody, who are you? And for me, it took me a long time to discover who I was. It's in the natural, we assume, oh, well, Tim works as a salesman, but that's not who I am. It really doesn't define my makeup. What defines myself is it's the attributes of God, it's Christ. And what they are is love, mercy, compassion, long-suffering, hope. You can even call them the fruits of the Spirit. That's what defines a person. It's how they walk in that is what makes that person who they are. It's no longer I that live, but God that lives within me, and that's his attributes. If you remember back in Exodus, Moses was in Egypt, and he lived as a king. He was the second right-hand man to the Pharaoh. He was a Hebrew by birth, but he was being raised in the Egyptian culture. But, you know, God predestines all of us. And there was a time, an appointed time and season, that God was going to harden his heart towards the Pharaoh and towards the way of Egypt. And he was going to put a love and a compassion in his heart, the attributes of God, for the people of God. Because God saw the suffering that they were going through for centuries. And God did not leave a deaf ear to what they were crying out for. So in Exodus, he took Moses out of Egypt, and he took himself and placed himself for a while in the desert so he could get to know God. And he put it on Moses' heart to lead the people out of Egypt and bring them to the promised land. And what was amazing was Moses was symbolic of Christ because he was getting to know God within himself. You know, we look at the symbolisms that are in the Bible and the scriptures about the burning bush and about on the mountain and all these different things, and he was going into the tent and talking to God. But you know what? He was really talking within himself. He was speaking to God directly within him. And the scripture verse that backs up what I'm saying is, when he was talking to God, he said, God, if I go back to let your people free, who shall I tell them is sending me? And God said this. He said, tell them I am is sending you. I am is for eternity. He's eternal. He's a spirit. I am is the ultimate authority. And it's within you, and it's within me. It's within every single person, because it's through Christ. Because he also said to God, please show me your glory, God. I want to see your glory, because it's the hope that's within me. I want to see this manifest. And you know what God said? He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. These are God's attributes, and that's what manifested before him. It says, and he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. You know, that's talking about the carnal nature. We can't see God in our carnal thinking, in our carnal eyes. We need to have our eyes opened up spiritually in order to see him. And it says, and the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. And we know the rock is Christ. That's the only way we can see God, is if we're in Christ. And he said, so it shall be, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back parts, but my face you shall not be seen. And what's awesome is God allowed him to see his glory, but he saw the glory that passed by, which was his attributes. And it says here, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And it says, so Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped God, because he was able to see through a divine nature God the Father. You know, we all want that intimate and personal relationship with God to where we can worship the true living God. And it only comes by Christ. And it comes by changing the way we think. And it comes by a spiritual relationship and not a carnal relationship. When I was younger, I went to different churches all my life, and I thought I had a relationship with God, but my relationship with God was through fear. I was afraid of God. I was afraid because I was so-called sinner, and I did bad things, and you know, I was like, man, I can never be good enough for God to love me. But that's a bunch of horse baloney. You know, God wants to love everyone, and he does, because he's given you his ultimate gift, which is his begotten Son, Christ, that lives and dwells within each and every one of us. And there is no sin in Christ because it's blotted out. And it's a spiritual thing. You have to grab hold of it. You have to make it a part of you because that's who you are. That's your makeup. It's the divine nature of God living inside of you. That's who you are. It's no longer that person that's in the carnal realm. It's not this person that's made up of skin. This is only a temporary temple that holds the Spirit of God within inside of me. If I were to die today, my body would drop to the ground, but my spirit lives on because this body cannot contain my spirit for eternity. And there is no more sin when you're in Christ. It's all thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. And this is our foundation here at GTTN. We want you to have a personal relationship with God. We're only here to encourage you and equip you for your journey through life because we're prepping you for eternity. We're not prepping you just for here, but we're prepping you for an eternal life, one that you're living with God for eternity. And it only comes, like I said, through Christ. And we all need to grab a hold of it. And, you know, when you're involved in religion, there's plenty of religions out there. And a lot of them are man-made. Some try to have some good things in them, but you know, if robbing and stealing from the sheep that are out there that really want to hear God's voice. And it says, you know, you can only be his sheep hear his voice. And a sheep is a person that's living by the Spirit, that wants to follow in his heart the commandments that God placed inside of you. You know, there's so many different commandments that are carnal out there. It's the do's and the don'ts. You know, it's even rules and regulations that we place on ourselves that are laws that we follow that leads us into sin because it's not what God's telling us to do. It's what we tell ourselves to do through our mind. You know, fear is one of the biggest strongholds out there. When you have an inclination or you have an aspiration to do something in your heart, what's the first thing comes to your mind? It's fear. What are people going to say if I do this? Can I actually attain this? What about the finances? Or, you know what? Will it ever work? That's the carnal realm that we live in. And God's saying, cast that down because, you know what? A troubled heart will never hear the word of God. You know, there was an old scripture verse. I believe it was Elijah when he was being tormented by Jezebel, who was trying to put him to death. And he ran off because he was scared, even though God gave him authority over her. You know, she used witchcraft and casted it on him, and he had a troubled heart. And it said that when he went into the cave, he said the storm came, God wasn't in it. The rains came, God wasn't in it. But there was a still, small voice that was inside of him, and that was God speaking to him. But we must have peace and we must have joy in order to be still to hear the voice of God. Because I know if I have a troubled heart, I'm not hearing the voice of God because I'm hearing my mind and I'm troubled and I don't know what to do. So you have to learn how to become still and have to cast down these thoughts and imaginations in order to hear the voice of God within inside of you. And here at GTTN, if you listen to the messages that are on our website, grab hold of it. There's plenty of nuggets and meat in there that you can listen to, and you can hear this, and you can get this inside of you, and you'll be transformed. You know, Pastor Sam last Sunday said a verse, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Well, it's not renewing of your mind one time. It's a constant renewing of your mind, because how many people can raise their hand and say, every day you have tormenting thoughts come into your mind about anything, and it's causing you to think a certain way that it's an imagination and it's not true? I mean, I'm in sales. I'm on the road constantly. I'll take a CD that we make here, and I'll put it into the CD changer, and I'll listen to it over and over and over. And each time I listen to it, I gain something new. There's always something God speaking to me through a message that I didn't hear the first time. Because you know why? My mind was trying to steal my thoughts, and I had to listen to it again and again and again. It's almost like you're brainwashing yourself to hear the spirit realm. Because you're causing confusion to your mind. Your mind's got so much chatter in it, you have to basically break it down and subdue it in order for it to submit to the Spirit of God. And that's why we ask you to continue to listen to these messages all the time to get it in you, because you may not get it the first time, you may not get it the second time, you may not even get it the seventh time, but if you keep listening to it, your spirit is grabbing hold of the truth subconsciously, and you're hearing it, and you start applying it, and you start recognizing it. You know, there's a saying that says, awareness is key. If you're aware that your mind is troubled, God wants you to cast the thoughts down. When you find yourself having a troubled heart, you take two steps back and you say, okay, what's causing my heart to be troubled? It's got to be something from my mind that's lying to me right now, so I need to take two steps back and say, what is it? Cast it down. And then that's how you keep washing and renewing your mind constantly. You know, it was basically just a really quick message tonight that there's a difference between carnality and spirit. And at GTTN, we preach upon the spirit, the Holy Spirit, because we want you to see God in a different way that you've ever seen him before. You know, there's plenty of religions out there that make idols, and they worship these idols saying it's God. Well, in the New Testament, Paul even said, we worship the unknown God. Because he's unknown, he's spirit. You can't see him unless you have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears. And Moses even proved it by saying, let me see your glory, God. It was his attributes that passed by. Sometimes we can't see God till after the fact something happens in our life. You know, you go through a storm, you can't see out of that storm until it bypasses and you can say, oh, there's God, he was in it. And you see the results and the fruit of what you went through. So I just want to thank everybody for logging on today, and I'm going to call up Pastor Sam, and he can add to something tonight. So thank you very much.
Nice. Good evening. Just to piggyback a little bit on what Tim's saying, it was a great message, because God knows how religion has destroyed lives, destroyed hope, just taking people out of the game. And, you know, religion preaches a lot about sin, 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 and it's all about sin. They try to scare you, like Tim was saying. And, you know, I asked this person one time, I said, if Jesus died for the sins of the world, and that was his whole goal for coming here, was to die for the sins of the world, then how's there still sin in the world? It's a question you got to ask yourself. If he laid his life down for the sins of the world, then how's there still sin in the world? See, we create sin by not trusting God. And the only way you trust God is by basically hearing truth. You know, Tim said brainwash. We say that, but it's really washing your brain. You're cleansing your brain of all the lies and all the rules and regulations that the religious people have put on you growing up, because it's a mess. I mean, look at their demeanor. Look at their face. Look at their peace. I mean, you could tell someone by their fruit. And fruit is righteousness, peace, and joy. And, you know, we've all come from different backgrounds in here. Catholic, Jewish, whatever. We have the whole array in here. And we heard the backgrounds. And, you know, we preach a truth in here that creates a life for you. And that life is created by you hearing truth. See, you're not going to know the truth until you hear it. And Tim was talking about getting into the messages, because as you listen to the messages over and over and over and over, it becomes life to you. The more you hear it, the more it starts getting louder than the lies of the world. And we've all been lied to, and we have a foundation that we created of lies that bring guilt, shame, and condemnation. And we're here to take a sledgehammer to that foundation and destroy it, and create a new foundation of love and peace and joy and trusting God, and a God that's a good God, a God that's a loving God, a God that cares for you, a God that created a life for you. But religion kills that. They're still camping on sin. Sin's been done for 2,000 years. You want to play with sin, go play with sin all you want, but don't bring it here. Don't let it in your mind. Don't let it in your heart. See, you're not a sinner. You're not a sinner. See, the whole world has been saved through Christ. Every single person in this world has a seed in them of Christ, a piece of God. And that piece of God has to be nurtured. It's like a little tiny baby. It has to be nurtured, it has to be cared for, it has to be fed. And when you feed that little seed, it starts growing up and becomes Christ. And eventually that seed of Christ becomes the Father. As Jesus said, no longer me, but it's the Father within me. You don't see me, you see the Father. You don't hear me, you hear the Father. Everything that I say is not my own words, but the Father's words that are in me. And this is the place that you can get to. See, we're telling you, you're good. We're telling you, you never made a mistake. If you're listening to my voice, God is calling you right now. You haven't missed it. You haven't made a mistake. Everything you've ever done in your life has been correct, exactly God's will for you. If not, then God's not in control. See, he's in control. And everything you go through is to bring you closer to him. And if we're not crying out to him yet, then wait till next week. See what you go through next week. Maybe you'll cry out next week when you go through something else. He keeps taking you through things and things and things. And in the world, you will have troubles. We preach it all the time. The world's not lollipop and roses and unicorns. It's a nasty, rough, harsh place, and people are selfish, and they'll kill you to get a dime. That's the world we're living in. And we need to realize that. And we need to be the change to this world. We need to be the change. We need to start the beginning of a foundation of peace, joy, and righteousness, and be that person. And encourage those around you. Not beat them down. Not destroy them, but lift them up. Encourage that Christ in them. Encourage their hope, their dreams, their passions. A lot of them have been buried. A lot of those dreams have been buried by guilt and shame and thinking you messed up your whole life. If you're still breathing, your life's not over. It could just be beginning. See, it's what you want. You create your life by your thinking. If you want a new life, you're going to have one. If you're not sick and tired of what you're going through, you're going to keep going through it until you're sick and tired. It's your choice. You can walk around the desert for 40 years and never see the promised land. Or you can walk right through in 5 minutes and reach it. It's your choice. We have a truth in here, in these messages. It's glorytothenations.org. You can get it in your phone. You can get it everywhere. We have people here, Rachel and Jim, who created this website. That's incredible. And we are reaching the whole entire world thanks to this website. So there's no excuses anymore. If you want a life, come get it. Log on the website. Listen over and over to the messages. They will change your life. They will transform you. It is so simple. Just listen to the messages. This isn't brain surgery here. If it was complicated, nobody could do it. But God made it easy. He said, just listen. Just take a ride in your car. Take a nice leisurely drive down the shore and put a CD in and listen to the CD and let it become part of you. And eventually, your mind's going to start changing. And when your mind changes, that begins to heal your heart of all the wounds that have been holding you back. So be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind and find a life. It's here for you. Just find it. Now, we have service on Sunday starting at 10 a.m. We'd love to have you out here, but if not, we broadcast live, and that's live stream. We have live stream, so if you're logging on, go to live stream and go to glorytothenations.org, and listen, because these messages will change your life, I promise you. Have a great night.